Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Malachi chapter 3. I'll be preaching and teaching this morning on the thought, why should I tithe? Now, first of all, if you get offensive or that's something that kind of rubs you the wrong way and you don't think it needs to be taught, perhaps that's the reason you're here today, because God's speaking to your heart and you do need to hear it, because it is relevant and it is God's Word. It is not just an Old Testament practice. It's just as real for the New Testament, and it's just as real for you and I today as it ever has been. And I stand here today to prove to you in the next 30, 40 minutes that God's Word is just as relevant for you and I today, even if it's in the process of tithe. So if there's someone here today, or if there's someone that's not here today that needs to be here and should hear this message on tithe, go to Walmart, get you a big roll of duct tape, and while they're asleep, tape them to their bed real, real good. Go to our app, turn it on, and let them hear this, because it is the Word of God. If we believe every word in the Bible is true, we've got to believe this is true. Okay, are you ready? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Have you ever noticed when you start talking about money, people seem to be a little bit slower? That is a joke. But I'm going to get serious. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithe and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and will pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse number 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and ye shall not, and he shall not destroy the fruit of the ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, a lot of folks will take this passage of Scripture and they agree with it for the Old Testament's sake. But I want to prove to you in this same chapter. Cameron, if you would go to the same chapter 3 and go up 2 verses to verse 6. This passage of Scripture is relevant today just as it was for Malachi's people. In verse number 6, you say, well, I've heard people say, well, tithing and offering is not relevant to our time today. Okay? How many's ever heard that? It's not relevant today. Verse number 6 of the same chapter says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. He did not nullify tithe and offering under grace. Ain't that awesome? He put it before 8 through 12, and he said, for I am the Lord, and I change not. What he was simply saying, so it is good then, it's good now. God does not change. One of the main reasons is, and if I could explain this to you for just a little bit, one of the main reasons, when our children are small and they begin to walk, we instruct them in every aspect of walking and encourage them. And we use the word, come on, sweetheart, walk to daddy. Come on, honey, walk to mama. We teach them, we train them, we take their little legs, and we go through the motions of walking. But when they get teenagers, you don't tell them how to walk or take their legs, but you expect them to know what you've already taught them. So it is with the Word of God. This was a brand new thing to the children of Israel, and so God had to instruct them specifically. But when we get to the Old Testament, we don't hear the Word as much, But the revelation of it is all through the New Testament. And I'll explain that to you as we go. Are you ready? If you notice someone nodding off, shake them real good. Tell them to wake up. Because this ain't just for me, it's for you. And personally, I don't care whether you tithe or not. Hello? My wife gives me my allowance. Preachers think that, people think that preachers just preach on this to pad their pocketbook. That ain't the case. Okay? I want you to tithe, not for my benefit. I want you to tithe and give an offering for your benefit. And I'll prove that as well. The reason that this nation, our nation, is in the shape it's in is because we have forsaken God and rejected all of His statutes. And so sadly, it's happened in our churches, our modern churches, and the culture of the church in which we live today. The Lord, I've had this message. I was supposed to preach it last week, but the Spirit of God took over, and that's fine because He takes precedence of everything. But God's been dealing with me for the last 4 weeks at least on this subject. And I want to give it to you from the bottom of my heart with all the love that I know how and the way God desires for us to be obedient. So we excuse ourselves from the obligation of tithing for two reasons. We have, first of all, we have scarcely been taught of the biblical responsibility of tithe and offering. Right? Second of all, we view tithe and offerings in the Old Testament teaching that are no longer required under grace. But I just told you in two verses before this, the Lord made it very clear in the same chapter that He spoke about tithing. He said, "I am the Lord and I change not." And it would seem to me that God was making a statement that throughout the ages, His word is just as relevant on this side of grace as it was on the other side of grace, under the law. Now I do understand that the concept of the law through Moses was for the children of Israel to give all of their increase. Listen to me closely. And if you read and you study the scriptures, there are three aspects of giving tithe and offerings that the children of Israel were required to do, which we specifically know that tithe speaks of 10%. And as the children of Israel gave in accordance to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, they were required through the ministries of their people, they were required about 23% a year because they had to give a 10%, a tenth of their cattle, their stock, 10%, a tenth of their fruits, a tenth of all their other stuff, other things that they receive their first fruits, and then at the end of the year they had to give an additional offering to the high priest for the feast of the Passovers. So it equaled about 23% a year, and we whine about 10. Come on, I'm going to have some fun with this, but I am going to be serious too. Okay, so stay with me. We all have heard that old saying, maybe even in a song, that if 10% was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for Uncle Sam. Tithe and offerings were established by God through Moses. While we often use the word tithe and offerings together, we must understand the biblical offerings are considered a gift outside of the additional tithe. And understand that tithe and offerings were not established by God to penalize you, to suppress people's lifestyle. Let me emphasize that. He did not initiate this to penalize people or suppress their lifestyle. We are to be good managers and faithful of the resources that He has given us. But the major value of this practice of tithing was to see how much faith we had to reciprocate our love toward God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We must understand, and we believe, and I've heard people say, everything in this world is God's anyway. Everything that I own is God's anyway. And if you believe that, then what's the problem with tithe and offerings? He has graciously given us His favor. And the least we can do is show Him our love through faith by giving back a portion of what He has allowed us to possess for a time. Because I can tell you, it don't matter how rich you are or how much you possess, I can tell you exactly how much you're going to take with you when you die. God owns all the resources. And He has extended to us. And by faith, we return a portion to Him because of our gratitude, our love, and our appreciation for the blessings He has given us. Anybody still awake? Yeah, I'm just getting started. This gets gooder and gooder and greater and gravy. Gooder and grits. We find in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, that when Abraham returned from defeating the armies of the four kings to rescue his nephew Lot, he met Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God. And in gratitude to God's authority and blessings, Abraham gave to Melchizedek 10% of his possessions. Everything. Of his possessions. You ready for this? You might want to write this down. If you don't remember anything else, you remember this, please. Abraham, understand, listen, Abram, he did not give to Melchizedek to invoke God's blessings, but he gave to Melchizedek in response to God's blessings. Hello? He did not give to get from God. He gave to Melchizedek because of God already blessing. And we must understand that it was critical to recognize tithing was a central part of God's laws. And the Israelites didn't want to feel inspired to tithe. They were expected to do so. And on top of that, they were encouraged to give a free will offering. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, I know I'm still in the Old Testament, but I'm going somewhere. In verse 30 of Leviticus 27, and all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. And it is holy. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto a fifth part thereof. Verse 31 is reciprocating that in those times they took to the high priest their grain, their fruit, their cattle. They took it literally to them. But in verse 31, he said, if you redeem what you have for a cash value, you are to add a fifth, which equals in percentage-wise about 12% if you give in cash. Never heard nothing like that before, had you? That's in the Bible. Okay? Now understand. I don't necessarily want you to bring your cows and your sheep to church. But if you catch 12 catfish, two of them is mine. I understand in this hour that we live, we do negotiate with cash. So that 10% or that tithe is God's, which is already His, and He blesses us that we give in free will offerings. The Israelites didn't think about the tithe as a gift they offered to God. Rather, they viewed it as a payment they owed to the Creator of all things. The tithes were given as the first fruits, meaning God was given the best of what they had. Whatever they had, 10% went to God right off the top. And on top of that, the Israelites were encouraged to give a voluntary offering, which was an expression of thankfulness and gratitude. I've heard people say, do you pay off the net or do you pay off the gross? If you pay off the top, if you get anything back off of your tithe, God can bless that, and you have already paid tithe on that. After the children of Israel came out of 70 years of bondage, Nehemiah had to reestablish the law of tithe and offering. They had forgot about it, and it was out of their character. They wasn't required of that under bondage. They still was to God, but under bondage they had forgotten all that. Nehemiah chapter 10 verses 35 through 38 says, "We also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruit of our crops and of every tree. As it is written in the law, we will bring the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle and of our herds and of our flocks and of our house of our God to the priests ministering thereof." Now that verse of scripture, I can hear some people say, this is a good opportunity to give my troubled child to the preacher. But I remind you that God said you're to offer your best, not your worst. As it is also written in the law, we will bring the firstborn of our sons, of our cattle, of our herds, of our flocks, of the house of God, to the priest to minister there. Verse 37, moreover, we will bring to the storehouse of the house of God, to the priest, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offering, of the fruit of our trees, and of our new wine and oil, and we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites. For it is the Levites who collect the tithe in all the towns where they work. Now, if the world and everything in it truly belongs to the Lord, why wouldn't the principle of tithing, giving, and offerings be true today? If all of it's God's anyway, and all of it belongs to Him, and we mostly all agree with that, until he wants us to turn loose a part of it. Why would it be true today? While we are not under the law of Moses, we should recognize God's sovereignty and the fulfillment of His word through His Son. It is His atonement and grace that we are what we are, and we have the ability of being where we are today. Last week in our grief share, something caught my attention, and I shared it with our class at the end of our class. But it becomes so relevant to where I'm at right now in this message about God's atonement and about His grace as He has extended to us. And I'd like to share that with you for just a moment. And I may even have to repeat it a couple of times, but can I express to you that no one can never experience God's grace until you have confronted and faced those things in your life that grace covers in the first place. Oh, you missed a good opportunity to say amen. You can never experience grace until first you experience those issues in your life that grace covers in the first place. You'll never know what grace is until you face those issues in your life that grace itself covers. Hey, that's gooder than grits and greater than gravy right there. You missed it. Because of God's atonement, because of His sacrifice, because of His grace, Matthew. Somebody say Matthew.
Matthew.
It's in the New Testament, right? Do not think that I have come to abolish the law, Jesus speaking, or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will be any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And that's Him returning from glory to get His church. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever practices and teaches these commands will be great, will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teaching of the law, you will certainly not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23 tells us these things as well. And though throughout Jesus' teachings on giving, He did not undermine the principle of tithing, but encouraged people to practice their giving in a meaningful way. And His instructions was not to be like the religious leaders of that day, only to pick and choose which ones of the commandments they wanted to observe. That was their big problem. The religious people just wanted to pick and choose which ones they wanted to deserve. Certain ones they made sure the others observed as they exalted themselves in religious practice. But Jesus said that we are to be followers of those who practice those things that are good, but do it with the right attitude. Somebody say attitude. And the right heart. That whatsoever we find our hand to do, do it with everything that's within us, with all of our hearts. Do it as unto the Lord. As Jesus addressed the scribes and the Pharisees and even the hypocrites, He was telling them to continue to give their tithe and all that they had, but don't neglect the other spiritual things that were necessary. Jesus wasn't neglecting the part of tithe and giving. But those things were just as important as living a life as they walked their life in the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kind, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ was crucified from the sinful nature that is passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other, and don't be selfish. You ready for this? When Jesus was sitting in the church and He was observing things, He observed them in one particular passage of giving in the offering. Ain't that cool? And He had them to write about it. When Jesus observed the little widow woman putting what she had in the treasure, what was He doing? It wasn't none of His business anyway, was it? What was He doing? Observing. Hello? I think it was. It was His. It's all His anyway. Amen. And when Jesus observed the little widow woman putting in what she had in the treasure, it's not hard to understand that Jesus was advocating the practice of tithing and giving and offerings. But in His instructions to His disciples, that it giving a lot with a wrong attitude is really immaterial to those who give what they can from the abundance of their heart, nor the abundance of their pocketbook. It's a wrong attitude. You see, everything in our relationship with Jesus Christ stems from a heart condition. Even in our giving, It is a condition of the heart. That we give from a heart with joy and not out of obligation. We give because we get to, not because we have to. We give because we love Him for all that He has done for us and for the glory of God and the upbuilding of His kingdom. Not because we have to. Here we go. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. The passage of scripture that I just related to you. And Jesus sat down opposite of the place where they were giving in the offerings, where they were put, and watched the crowd put in their money. You believe Jesus was an advocate of tithe and offering? Then why did He say, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's and give to God's what's God's? And they was putting their money into the temple treasury. Jesus was watching then, and guess what? He's watching now.
Yeah.
It's your faith being released through the joy of giving from the heart that causes your faith to be released in such a way the blessings of God is poured out upon you. Many people threw in large amounts, but the poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, which was only a fraction of a penny. Jesus calling His disciples, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that this poor widow has put in to the treasure then more than all the rest of them. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, putting in everything, all that she had to live on. Those gave out of obligation. She gave out of a want to. The concept that God's talking about is one not giving out of the abundance, but one giving out of their lack, so that God can abundantly bless them. That comes from a heart of love. That comes from a heart of thanksgiving for the blessings of God that are rich and they add up no sorrow. And He is not stingy. He will give back. But we don't give to get. We give because He has already gave. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. It's another message. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. You think tithing and offerings in the New Testament? Yes, I do. Amen, Pastor. That's good. Not, we don't give so God will bless. We give because God's already blessed. If you don't believe that, hold your breath and don't suck in His air. It's all His. I heard of some scientists that got together with Jesus and said that they didn't need Him anymore. They could make human beings all by themselves. The Lord told them to go ahead and start. They said, well, we'll need some dirt to start. He said, get your own dirt. It's all His. It's all His. If you do not think that tithing and offerings, if you think that it's only a statute of the Old Testament, you will find, hey, stay with me for just a little bit longer. I'm almost finished, but I got the best things to come. Thank you, Sister Lori. God bless your heart. You will be blessed indeed. If you think it's just the Old Testament, you need to think again. Because throughout the New Testament, there is references, referrals, testimonies of the goodness and the graciousness of God concerning those that have given of their times and of their resources. The writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, even that writer refers to Abraham and Melchizedek as he gave a tenth of his everything that he owned. The whole chapter compares the priesthood of Jesus Christ to the Old Testament character of Melchizedek, which we should be able to understand that through the Old Testament characters fulfills the meaning as it spans the gap between the Old and the New Testament, because it's God's plan. And it still encourages a giving heart. It's an attitude of gratitude. As we fulfill the promises of God, acknowledging His mercy, His fulfillment toward us, that we within ourselves are so unworthy. In the real difference that it shows in the heart, in that we don't have to give in tithe and offerings, but we get to give. We want to. And we get to, because of our love for God and the blessings that He has given us so abundantly. And not only at the promises that we have, that if we will store up our treasures in heaven, and one way in doing that is investing in the kingdom of God here, that He has placed for us. He has a place for us. Let me kind of start over there on that. That not only the promises that we have, that God has given us, but He also tells us that we are to store up our treasures in heaven, where thieves and rust and moths can't break through and steal. And the only way we can do that is investing in the kingdom of God here. And the reason we do that is because He has a place prepared for us with streets that are pure gold. And He is the light of that city. No more electric bills. Hello. I read a statement about Rockefeller, and about everybody has heard of Mr. Rockefeller, that is rich beyond measure. But he himself said, "I would never have learned how to give tithing of my millions if I had not been faithful and learned how to give of my tithe of a dollar and a quarter per hour when I was younger." Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 said, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats to brim over with new wine." It is vitally important that we teach our children also how to tithe and how to give. If you give them a dollar, teach them how to tithe that dime. Make it special to them. Make it happy for them. Hello? If you want them to grow up and be blessed in tithing and giving and offerings, show them and teach them how to do it when they're small. Insert, pastor, if you want your children to know how to behave at church, teach them how to behave at home. If they don't know how to sit down and be still at home, they'll never understand why they have to be still in church. If you don't teach them how to tithe a dollar, they'll never know how to tithe their $100. I'm giving you some good stuff. Some of you may not like it, but you're going to look back one of these days and say, "You know what? That preacher was telling me the truth." I'm giving you some good instructions here. Teach them at home so they'll know how to act in church. One of the things, and nobody told us this, nobody showed us this, other than God helped us understand this. When we went to church all of our life, Hector was just a pup when we started to church. Y'all know who Hector is? I don't either. He was just some stray dog we were playing around. But we would, after church, the boys wouldn't behave in church, and they took after their mama, so there was sometimes they didn't. We would take them home, and while we was getting Sunday dinner ready, they sit on the couch. No, they sit on the couch. Okay? And we help them to understand the importance of being still at home so they know how to be still at church. And we taught them that this was God's house. And we taught them how to give of their tithe when they would make $1 or $2 or whatever. We taught them that's vitally important that has been a lost art in America's churches today. I'm not scolding you. I'm trying to help you and teach you. Okay? The importance of godly instruction at home so they'll have that instruction in God's house. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will I pour into your lap or into your bosom. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured unto you. Some people like to measure with a cup. I like to measure with a gallon bucket. Some people like to measure with a gallon bucket. I like to measure with a 55-gallon drum. God blesses a cheerful giver. And tithing is just as relevant in the New Testament as it was the Old Testament. Tithing is just as relevant today as it was at the Church of Corinth. Someone wants to label tithing and giving and offerings as a legalistic practice. But even though, and thank God, we are no longer under the law, if those felt and obeyed the law of giving, how much more should we desire to obey and to give to God under His mercy and under His grace? How much more should we desire to obey and to give to God under His grace, under His mercy, that He has so freely given to us, to whosoever will? The Bible teaches us to give generously, consistently, and joyfully in every aspect of our lives. Jesus is after your heart. He's after your heart. And giving is a great form of worship. But our finances only matter if the offering of the sacrifice comes from the heart. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. God's desire is to get your heart right with Him. Would you stand with me all over the building today? God so much loves and desires to have fellowship with you in every aspect of your life. But again, if I could come back to the point, every issue is from the heart. Every situation is an issue from our heart. God loves you God cares for you. I love you and I care for you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be touched by Almighty God. I want the blessings of God to fill your barns full. Say, well, I don't have any barns. God will fill them anyway because He fills your life. Every head bowed and eye closed. Heavenly Father, so graciously you have abundantly blessed, touched, encouraged, and just as sure as your word about salvation and the blood that was shed on Calvary is real and relevant today, so is our love for tithing and giving to your kingdom. I pray, God, today that you will touch our hearts with your word. More important than anything else, let our hearts be touched by your word. Touch your people today. Lord, we love you and appreciate you and thank you. With heads bowed and eyes still closed, if there's one here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, on top of what I preached, there's nothing more important than your heart being given to God. So if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, these altars are open for you to come and to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Word of God tells us we can come boldly before the throne of grace and plead our petition before God, and He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we have a petition that we ask of Him. Is there one? Is there one? We'll wait for just a moment. I wonder if there's one here today you need a touch from God, whether physical, financial, spiritual, you need a touch from God. Would you just lift your hand up and write that down? You need a touch from God. God sees all these hands. And you know what? It's immaterial to God on the difficulty of whether it's physical, financial, or mental or spiritual, whatever it is, because He paid all the price. He paid all the price completely for your healing. Sister Cammy had surgery Friday, and she's been in a lot of pain, so remember her as we pray. Would you just stretch your hand towards heaven right now and ask God, God, you see these hands that have been raised. God, I ask you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, in all your faithfulness and all your goodness and all your mercy and all your grace, Lord, that you will reach down, that you will touch them, oh God. Lord, help us, oh God, to face the issues of our life that grace covers so that we might experience grace in a great, mighty way. Touch your people today, Lord, whether it's a physical touch, heal them, Lord. Whether it's a spiritual touch, mend them, Lord, we ask it. Lord, whether it's a mental thing, I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will touch their hearts right now in Jesus' name. We look to you, O God, for you are our Lord and our Savior and our soon coming King. Thank you, Lord, for your word, what it presents and represents in our lives. Touch your people and minister to them, Lord, this day. Bring us back tonight, the point in time. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. 5:00 prayer meeting tonight, 6:00 service.